inside the Rucha Divinci, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفرأيت الذي كفر بآياتنا وقال لأوتين مالا وولدا اطلع الغيب أم اتخذ عند الرحمن عهدا وقال اتخذ الرحمن ولدا اطلع الغيب أم اتخذ عند الرحمن عهدا كلا سنكتب ما يقول ونمد له من العذاب مدا ونرثه ما يقول ويأتينا فردا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected علماء كرام elders and brothers In the time of Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه There was a case that was opened against the kafir. He had committed many, many injustices, many, many crimes. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had given the verdict that he should be executed. So the time came for the execution. So he requested to drink some water. So as is the normal case, when anyone is about to be executed, then his last wish, they try to fulfill it. So the water was brought, a glass of water was brought and given to him. But after they gave him the water, and they found that he was not drinking. So they asked him, then why are you not drinking? So he says, no, I'm scared. I'm scared that you will kill me before I drink this water. So they said, no, you don't have to fear, you drink the water. So he says, no, I'm very scared. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu tells him, that so long as you do not drink this water, we will not kill you. So you rest assured, you drink it nicely, and then after that. So when he hears this, he takes the water and he throws it onto the floor, onto the ground. And then he tells him that you said that so long as I do not drink this water, you will not execute me. Now there's no water left. It's thrown onto the floor. So now you cannot kill me. So as Umar radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that this person has deceived us, but we will not deceive him. And he tells him, you can go free. So immediately this person recites, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And he accepts Islam. And then he says, that I always knew that Islam was the true religion. But because of my deep hatred for Islam, I refused to accept. But now seeing the honor, seeing the justices, the respect, the conduct of the Muslims, and how they treated in this case, this warmed my heart, and now he enters into the fold of Islam. In the time of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, there was a Jew, and this Jew had stolen the armor of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. So the case came in front of Hazrat Qazi Shureyh rahimahullah, who was the head justice, the chief justice, the head judge. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu and this Jew were brought in front. Ali radiallahu anhu was Amirul Mu'mineen. So the Qazi said to him, that you are the claimant, said to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, that you are the claimant, and the claimant has to produce proof of his claim. So do you have any proof? So there's Amirul Mu'mineen Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, and here he is brought in front of the court, and he's being treated just equally as the other person. No special treatment is being given, because he is Amirul Mu'mineen, because of his position, no special treatment. He's being treated equally on all sides. So the Amir al-Mu'mineen mentions Ali radiallahu anhu that yes, I have proof, I have two witnesses. One is my son Hassan radiallahu anhu and the other is my freed slave Qumbur. So Hazrat Qazi Shurayh rahimahullah, he mentions that as for your son, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, then the testimony of the son in favor of the father is not acceptable in the court of law, Islamic Shariat. Because the son naturally has love for the father, inclination to the father. So there'll be doubt with regards to his testimony. And this will not be looked at favorably. So he said, with regards to your son, we will not accept. We will accept the witness of your freed slave Qumbur, but you'll have to produce another witness because in Islam you need two witnesses. So as Ali radiallahu anhu tells him that, O Shurayh, that this is my son Hassan radiallahu Hassan, and he is the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned with regards to him that Sayyida, my two sons, Sayyida Shababi Ahli al-Jannah, they are going to be the leaders of the youth in Jannah. When this is his maqam and his status, and still you are rejecting his testimony. So Hazrat Qazi, perhaps Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu had a different masla. Maybe his view was different. Perhaps according to him, the testimony of the son was acceptable. But according to Qazi Shuri, and Hazrat Qazi Shuri rahimahullah was placed as chief justice by Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu himself. So Hazrat Qazi Shuri said, no, according to us, the testimony of the son will not be taken in favor of the father. And therefore, whoever he is, whoever the son is, we are not going to accept it. So immediately Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he bows his head and he accepts the judgment. And then Hazrat Qazi Shuri says that since you are not capable of presenting another witness, now we will pass the judgment in favor of the Jew. And the armor was taken and given to the Jew. So immediately the Jew, when he gets the armor, he receives the armor, he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And he accepts, he enters into the fold of Islam. And he says, really, this armor was not mine, it did not belong to me. It's actually, I stole it from Ali radiallahu anhu. But now seeing the justice of the Muslims, how I was treated in this court, I accepted Islam. He said, I give this thing back to Ali radiallahu anhu. Because Ali radiallahu anhu mentions that no, you can keep the armor also. It is mentioned that this person, this Jew who became a Muslim, he became the devout servant, the committed servant of Ali radiallahu anhu, and he remained with him throughout his life till the very end, until in the battle of Siffin, he fought on the side of Ali radiallahu anhu and until he became shaheed. So when you look at these two incidents, the lesson that is learned was that the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was in the heart of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. In the case of Umar radiallahu anhu, he had the fear of Allah. Then how am I going to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah when I'm going to be questioned? That you told this person that so long as he does not drink the water, you're not going to kill him. Now if you had to execute him, what am I going to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? Therefore I let him go. In the case of Ali radiallahu anhu, you could not present the two witnesses. So if you're going to insist on getting your right, what are you going to say in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And therefore he forgoes his right. So they had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but look at the outcome of this. That because of this, the enemies of Islam, seeing the justice and the respect and the honor of Muslims and the ummah, this won their hearts and led them to accept Islam and enter into the fold of Islam. So we find the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within themselves. And this is the distinguishing factor between us and them. That they had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that made them successful in life. That made them triumph over their enemies. They made them victorious. It allowed them to draw the special assistance from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards themselves. Today, everyone is looking for that special assistance. We're looking for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People are asking when the victory is going to come to the Muslims. So this is the solution. Just like how Sahaba radiallahu anhum had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who will bring the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his life, then he'll also become successful. He will also triumph over his enemies. The special help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to the ummah also now, in this day also. And we'll see victory for the Muslims. But we have to inculcate this quality of bringing the fear of Allah. When the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come in our lives, this will become the dominating factor that will keep the person on haqq and save him from batil. It will become the dominating factor in keeping the person under the command of Allah, the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and saving him from sins. Just like how a person in the month of Ramadan, he's fasting, it's a very, very hot day. The fridge is laden with delicacies, the cupboards are full also. But now he is fasting, he understands this is the farz of Allah. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he fears accountability in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore he will not stretch his hand towards anything. He says, due to my passions and my desires, I'm not going to destroy this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not going to destroy this farz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he never stretches his hands towards it. Even if a person has to pay him millions of rands, tell him, break your fast. If the person has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, he'll say, I'll never do it. I'm not prepared. Similarly, today is the day of Jumu'ah. So we understand the great day, greater than the days of Eid also. So that person, we see the Muslims all around the world who has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come the day of Jumu'ah, he goes out of his way to make sure that I am there present in the masjid. I must make it for the Jumu'ah Salah. This is the one great farz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, great command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will not miss it for the world also. Person is late, he'll be moving, he'll be driving through the traffic also trying, even if he gets the tickets, he'll say, we'll worry about the tickets later. I need to make it for my Jumu'ah Salah. If a person pays him, that, you know what, I'll give you 10 million. You miss your Jumu'ah Salah today. That person has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. He will never be able to leave it. He won't be interested. Why? Because this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in the time of Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a sahabi by the name of Hazrat Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiyallahu anhu. So he entered into a business deal with a kafir by the name of As bin Wail. So he was a blacksmith by trade, Hazrat Khabbab radiyallahu anhu. So according to some narrations, Hazrat As bin Wail told him that he must make him a sword. And according to some narrations, he asked him for some money. So perhaps both things took place. He made him the sword and he probably lent him some money also. So when the time came, he made the sword and he presented it, and the time came for him to collect his money. So when he went to receive his money, so As bin Wa'il told him that I'm not going to pay you this money until you don't reject Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not prepared to give you this money. In other words, till you do not become a kafir like me, leave the fold of Islam, reject the nubuwat and the risalat of Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm not prepared to pay you this money. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu anhum, they were such people that the world and whatever it contains meant nothing to them. So his immediate response was that, oh As, even if you, till the end of your life, till the day you die, till the day you die, and I don't receive this money from you, from now till you die and I don't receive this money from you, then I'm not worried about it. If I have to leave and reject Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only that, if after you die also, from then till the day of Qiyamah, till you are resurrected, till that time also, if you have to ask me that I want this money in exchange that I must reject Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm never prepared to do it. You can keep the money also. From now till the day of judgment. So as Aas bin Wa'il, the kafir, he says that there is such a thing as Qiyamah. There is such a thing as resurrection. If that is the case, and there is such a thing on as resurrection, then on the day of Qiyamah, I'll be given a lot of wealth, like how I have in this world. I'll be given a lot of children and wealth and power. On that day, I'll come and pay you. Like how we say, you go and collect the check. You do the, I'll do the EFT on that day. So Hazrat Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu, he made his stance clear that I'm not prepared to take this money from you in exchange of rejecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can do as you please. So see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loved the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to a great extent. These were the true companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the true leaders of the ummah, the true heroes of the ummah, our leaders. These were those people who followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 100%. They were the true representatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world. They were the men of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the rijal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahaba. In many places in the Quran Kareem, Hazrat Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them. Allah mentions in one place, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on this occasion, when Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiyallahu anhu is having this dialogue with this kafir, As bin Wa'il, while this dialogue is taking place, Quran was revealed. Imagine how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved the sahaba. That in many instances in their lives, while they were talking, while the conversations were taking place, while the incidents were taking place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was revealing Quran with regards to them. So much of love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the maqam and the status of the sahaba radiyallahu anhu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat of the Quran. And he mentions, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا, that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you see that person who denied our verses and our signs. وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالَهُ وَوَلَدًا, referring to Asb bin Wa'il. And he says that if in on the day of Qiyamah, if there is such a thing, if there is such a thing as resurrection, as the day of Qiyamah, then after that, I will be given a lot of wealth, I will be given a lot of children. Pomp and glory I will have there. So Allah mentions, أَطَّلَعَ الْغَيْبِ, has he peeped into the unseen to see that we have kept all these things in store for him there? أَمِ اتَّخَذَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَانِ عَهْدًا, or has he taken a covenant and a pledge? Has he made an agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are going to keep all these things there for him? These things that he is talking about? Allah mentions, كَلَّا, never, we are not going to give him anything. سَنَكْتُبُ مَا يَقُولُ, and we are going to write, we are recording everything that he is saying. His every move is being recorded by the angels on kept in his record, and will be shown to him on the day of Qiyamah. His minutest detail of his life will be shown to him. سَنَكْتُبُ مَا يَقُولُ وَنَمُدُّ لَهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ مَدَّا, and we are going to extend his punishment in great extension. That means we are going to give him a lot of punishment on the day of Qiyamah. One of these things that he's talking about, the wealth, the children, and all these things that he's bragging about, we are going to inherit, he's going to leave it behind. We are going to inherit it from him, and we will give it to those people who we please. وَيَأْتِينَا فَرْدًا, and he will come to us all alone. He will come to us all alone like the day we created him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat was revealed for this occasion. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here, is impressing upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For every person, this is Quran is for everyone. That just like how this the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had the fear of Allah, that they were prepared to sacrifice everything for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like how they responded, we must respond. How they conducted, we have to also conduct. That the power that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had in their life, the power of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of accountability and standing for reckoning in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How am I going to fare on the day of Qiyamah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question me? This has to become the main and the dominant fikr of every believer. Just like how we mentioned that person is fasting. It's a hot day. No one is there to see him. But still he will not stretch his hand out to take anything, because he knows Allah is watching. This is the fear of Allah. Allah is watching me. Similarly, the person will be at home, or maybe in his business, the person is on holiday, whether the person is dealing with a kafir, a non-believer, whether he's dealing with a believer, whether the person is in public or in private, in all situations, the fear of Allah has to be his dominant concern. That Allah is watching me. What is going to be my end result? The person is sitting with a cell phone, and he's looking at the internet, he's viewing the social media. At that time, the concern also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. The concern is for akhirat. The concern is for my hereafter. What is going to be the result of my final moments before I leave this world? This is the main, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the main fikr throughout their lives. One person, one Tabi'i, he said, I met so many Sahabi, approximately 16 to 20 Sahaba. He says, the dominant fikr and concern of every Sahabi who I met was what was going to be the end result. How am I going to fare in the akhirat? This was the dominant feature of their lives, all the time worried about how my end result is going to be. It is mentioned at the end of the life of Umar radiallahu anhu. It was the time of Fajr. Umar radiallahu anhu went onto the Musalla to perform the Fajr Salah. And then the Persian slave, the Kafir, Abu Lu'lu, he went forward and he stabbed Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu many times. And it is mentioned that he stabbed him so many times that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu fell unconscious. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, eventually they captured this Kafir, but before they could do anything, he stabbed himself and he killed himself. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was taken home, and then the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were grieving and standing around him. It was a very, very sad day for the Ummah. You can imagine how sad. What a day. The day that Umar radiallahu anhu left this world. So they're grieving and they're mourning. And at that moment, Hazrat Samura radiallahu anhu, he comes in. And while seeing this scene in front of him, Amirul Mu'mineen is unconscious. He asked them, has Amirul Mu'mineen performed his Fajr Salah yet? It was the time of Fajr. So they say, no, he hasn't performed anything yet. So he says, no. Fajr Salah, so important. Even in this case, in this moment, Fajr Salah has to be read. So he says loudly, O Amirul Mu'mineen, As-Salah, As-Salah. It is mentioned immediately as Umar radiallahu anhu came out of his state of deep unconsciousness into consciousness. And then when he hears the words of Salah, and then he says, yes, yes, لَيْسَ لَهُ حَظٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ لِمَنْ لَيْسَ لَهُ صَلَاةٌ. That for that person who has no salah in his life, there is no share in Islam for him. There is no share in Islam for that person who has no salah in his life. And then the first question that Umar radiallahu anhu asked was, have the Sahaba radiallahu anhu performed their Fajr salah? So they told him, Amir al-Mu'mineen, they all performed their salah. So he was happy and pleased, and then he performed his salah. So we can imagine the fikr, dominant fikr, how much of fikr the person must have had. We can imagine the state of unconsciousness after being stabbed. But just the mere listening to the words of salah brought him out of that state and made him perform his salah. And then after performing the salah, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu calls his son, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, and he tells him that go to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha and seek permission from her that when I pass away, that I'm seeking permission that I can be buried in the room, in her house, in the room next to Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, seeking permission. Says, but when you go there, don't tell her Amirul Mu'mineen is sending you. Because she might feel it like an instruction. Amirul Mu'mineen is sending. It might be a command and an instruction. Tell her that Umar is sending you. Because I am no longer Amirul Mu'mineen. I'm about to leave this world. So as Abdullah bin Umar, he goes to her. And he tells her, my father Umar has sent me with this request that he wants to be buried in your room next to Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So she mentions that it was my desire my entire life that I should be buried there. Next to my father, next to Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that personality that we will sacrifice everything for him. We will give everything for him. You go and tell him that we have accepted, we give him permission, he can be buried in this place, in the room. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he goes back to his father. And at that moment it is mentioned that Umar radiallahu anhu was waiting in eagerness, waiting to see what is the reply going to be. And as Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he comes and he tells the father that I've spoken to her. Umar radiallahu anhu asked, what did she say? He said, no, she has given you permission. See, as Umar radiallahu anhu became so happy. And he mentioned that my entire life, this was the dominant concern of mine, the dominant fikr. Imagine, Umar radiallahu anhu, second in the ummah, the second greatest in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لو كان بعدي نبيا لكان عمر. If there was a Nabi to come after me, if there was a Nabi, then it would have been Umar radiallahu anhu. Such a great sahabi. The khilafah of 10 years, so great. And the concern of the sahabi, the Umar radiallahu anhu, is how my end result is going to be. Am I going to leave this world with iman or not? Am I going to be given the honor of being buried in the room with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? He said, this was my greatest concern throughout my life. He said, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted my dua. He says, but when I pass away, then take my body past the house of Aisha radiallahu anha and wait outside and ask her permission that Umar radiallahu anhu is passing now. Ask her permission again. Can we bury him in that room? Perhaps in my life she felt it hard to say no. But after I passed away, there will be nothing holding her back. So you go and ask her permission one more time. If she denies it, then take me and bury me in Jannatul Baqi, in the general Qabristan. And if not, then if she agrees, then you bury me there. And this is what was, this is how it happened. So respected elders and brothers, we see that the dominant feature, the dominant concern of the, and the fikr of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the dominant feature in their life was the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That accountability and standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of how we are going to answer. So this has to become our main concern also. How I'm going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm also going to be held accountable. What is going to be the condition of my last moments when I'm going to leave this world? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to be pleased with me or not? When I die, what is going to be the condition? Every one of us know that we have to leave this world. And death knows no age. Everyone is passing away. Young people are also passing away. So before the time comes that we have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, hasibu qabla an tuhasabu. That take stock of yourself before stock will be taken for you on the day of Qiyamah. Take account of your deeds now in this world before the day will come when account will be taken of your deeds. So this is the time for us to set the record straight. Otherwise not the SARS here, the SARS
In akhirat, here in the world, the person, if his books are jippod, he can get, and the moment he passes away, they can't catch him. But the Saj in akhirat, the book of deeds with the angels, as soon as the person passes away, everything is going to be on record. His entire life, the minutest detail is going to be brought in front of this person. So how to set our record straight, whether it is with the creation, disbeliever, or a believer, a Muslim, whether it is with the relatives, the neighbors, whoever it may be. If you got any problems, we set it right. We do what we can, we forego our rights, we do more for them. Whether it is our relationship between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we rectify it, following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Staying away from those things that Allah prohibited. Becoming the true followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this way, that every sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is brought in our life. Whatever Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited us from, we stay away from it. So we become the true followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, if we do this, we set the record straight between Allah and ourselves. The person has some farais that are not done yet. The person has not performed his salah, farz salah. So before we pass away, we have to start doing it. So sometimes a person might think, I have a lot, how am I going to finish it? So we make the intention and we start. Slowly, slowly, inshallah, Allah knows. So the person will start, inshallah, he'll get the himmat. There were people in the past who had thousands, and in few months they did it. Because Allah gave them the himmat, but we have to start somewhere. So we start, inshallah, that Allah gives the himmat. And if the person had to pass away in the interim, Allah knows then that this person was trying, inshallah. The person had some fast to fulfill, he didn't keep fast. The Ramadan fast. So we make the qaza of those. No. The person has zakat, he has unpaid zakat, we fulfill it. Cause straight between us and Allah. It is not just sufficient for us to say Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim. Yes, we make tawbah, we ask for forgiveness, but at the same time we have to set the record straight. So inshallah, if we do this, we have this fikr, concern for akhirat, we set the record straight, then inshallah, the time when we are going to be leaving this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us. The angels are going to be pleased with us, inshallah. The people in this world, the creation will also be pleased. When the person is leaving, the people of the world will be crying. But the person who is leaving, inshallah, he will be celebrating and be happy, going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah grants tawfiq to make amal wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.